B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub. Thanks for starting your day with Toucher and Rich.
Why are you doing this to me?
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here we go. 15 rounds for the WBVA World Circuit Championship. Little Mac taking on Mike Tyson. The dream fight here tonight. The world major winner title holder, Little Mac, didn't even use the code to get to this title fight as he easily knocked off Sona Popinski and the Sandman. Taking on Mike Tyson, who famously once said, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face. It's 9 seconds in, and Little Mac has had his block knocked right off. You're supposed to wait till he blinks. You might need the code to get back to him. Oh, by the way, thank heavens, the code is 007-373-5963.
That is the 100% correct Dave Gosher doing the play-by-play for, in my opinion, the greatest sports video game ever made, Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
I played it last night.
You played last night?
Yeah, I couldn't get past Bald Bull.
Bald Bull, you have to wait till he charges and punch him right in the stomach.
Yeah, but I was just
the
not
timing's
doing
tough.
It. Timing was tough. Very tough, yeah.
Now, I don't think that you can find Mike Tyson's Punch-Out now. Like, when they did the reissue of the little NES thing ahead, it's just Punch-Out, and his licensing is gone.
Yeah, I think he's called Mr. Dream.
Yeah, that's right. It's not Mr. Dream, and they've completely changed to a different character, but I think it's the same moves. We interviewed Mike Tyson years ago, and I was asking about, you know, how much money did you make off that? And I believe the story was, he told me that at the time he was just signing anything that came his way, and somebody came up to him and was just like, hey, listen, we'll give you $50,000 if we can do something for video games. And he signed this thing, and it ended up going on to be one of the best-selling video games in, like, video game history as far as during the time. So I guess that they're saying the equivalent would have been, if he would have gotten licensing, he could have made something crazy of upwards of like $75 million off that game, and he did it for
$50,000.
Wow. Sold his rights to it. So obviously not making the best business decisions back in the day, but Mike Tyson is somebody that to me is utterly fascinating. And as a matter of fact, if you haven't seen the documentary just called Tyson, somebody was brilliant. They said, you know what we're going to do? We don't need any kind of shenanigans or any kind of strange set. We're just going to put a camera in front of Mike Tyson and ask him questions. And it was just insane. You saw him go from, like, talking about Cuz D'Amato, who, of course, is the guy who brought him in and trained him when he was just a boy at the time.
And you can actually trace Tyson's downfall after D'Amato died.
Yep.
Everything went downhill right after
that. He was the one positive influence in his life. And he tells these stories about, you know, I got this old white guy brings me to his house. And the first thing I'm thinking is, how do I rob this dude and leave? And about how he was the only person who truly loved him. And you see him, like, talking all nights about Cuz. And he goes, and I knew that the moment that Cuz died, I would kill any mother effer that ever messed with me again. I'm like, whoa. He went from, like, super sweet guy to you don't want to mess with Mike Tyson guy in, like, a snap of a finger.
Yeah.
So this I have not heard. Yeah. As I said, it's rare that I don't hear audio that we play before it does. Mike Lockhart texts me yesterday and goes, all right, Mike Tyson just did a podcast. And I knew nothing about what's going on. I now kind of have a basic idea of what the scenario is, but can you set this up for me?
Sure. So this is episode 40. Apparently, he's had this for a while. Jim Jones, the rapper, is in with
them. So he's got 39 more of these?
Yes.
Wow. Oh.
They're an hour and 10 minutes long. It's quite a watch.
All of them?
Yeah. So you get to watch it. Geez. And the best part is sometimes they'll just start watching TV.
So who is this guy? So is this Mike Tyson and who?
Yeah, Jim Jones is the guest today. He's got like a co-host with him. I forget his name.
Yeah, Jim Jones, a big reality star. Like a lot of women watch these reality wives shows.
Okay, and basically it's called Hot Boxing with Mike Tyson because they're just literally smoking blunts for an hour and 10 minutes.
Is it hot boxing fighting under farting under the blankets?
Yeah, you don't know. Your lungs are too little to hot box with God. You don't remember that rap lyric from way back?
I don't, unfortunately. I was listening to
it was Dr. Dre's line, actually. Nine Deuce.
Murray.
Death Row Records.
So as this starts, they are already so high.
Okay. So they got high before they did this podcast.
Oh, yeah. And they all have their own blunts.
Okay, so they're smoking it while the podcast is going.
Yeah, and they continuously smoke throughout the podcast, so they are just on another
So planet. They're all smoking their own blunt.
Oh, yeah.
Not passing the
And this is Jim Jones is on the show because he's created a weed strain, and this is his weed strain.
Oh, the strain.
It's already high before this starts.
Dan tells me the scene looks like Spicoli's van. Like, it's like there's smoke everywhere. Oh, and you're right. I think Tyson owns his own weed farm.
Oh, he does. Yeah, he talks about it a little bit, and he makes a ton of money.
Murray's got this wistful look in his eye.
It's funny how you were talking about the Tyson game and money and everything. He didn't care at all, and he talks about
I can't wait any longer. Mike Tyson with some guy I don't know, and they're high. Dan, you need you to pot this up, buddy. All right, here we go.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Hot Box.
And we're off.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Hot Box. And I'm Evan Britton.
And I'm Mike Tyson.
Mike, you got an awesome guest today, brother.
Oh, man, we've been killing the guests lately.
I know. Great people coming in here. Jim Jones. Welcome, man.
Harlem Finest.
Thank you. Thank you.
I say the whole
Dip
crew.
Set, Dip brother. Set,
diplomatic
yeah,
community.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Words. The man has seen Lethal Weapon 2. He knows what diplomatic immunity is. Are they eating anything? Are they just
no, not yet. They're just hanging out right now.
Yeah. I pay the whole
Dip set,
Dip
brother.
Set, diplomatic.
Yeah,
immunity.
Okay.
Actually.
All right.
How
man.
Y'all feeling?
We're feeling pretty awesome,
we're pretty
man.
Good.
What do you want to listen? Well, what are you doing here? Tell us about this product, well, Saucy.
I'm part of a marijuana company called Saucy. My partner, Alex, he's out there, Paulie.
Where Alex at? Alex, don't talk. Oh, come on, Alex.
He good.
I mean,
this is 30 seconds in to an hour and 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Is there anything funnier than someone who's high with a lisp? Let's get John Wallach on, shall we?
And the other guy, I don't have it too many times, but he just kept, everything's beautiful, man. That is beautiful.
I want Marshall Hook and John Wallach in a room to get high.
That's dangerous right there.
He's out there, Paulie.
Where Alex at? Alex, don't talk. Oh, come on, Alex.
He good.
He wanna come hang out with us?
What's up, Mike?
Alex, say what's up.
Come in there with Alex.
What's up?
Don't be
Alex.
Scared and shit. Yeah, smoke, Alex. Smoking's good, man.
What's up?
Don't be
Alex.
Scared and shit. Yeah, smoke, Alex. Smoking's good, man.
Yeah, that's actually the first Jim's line. He owns. He has his own product line, Capo, and we think we're gonna kill it with it.
Have you wanted to get into the cannabis business for a while?
It made perfect sense for all the weed that I smoke and for the years, the different type of
all the money
that we
you
help.
Paid for this.
Oh, definitely that too.
We invested a lot.
Yet, yo, what do we smoke a month? Is it what? Is it 40,000 a month?
Know. We smoke
40,000 a
we
month.
We smoke 10 tons of weed at the ranch.
Did he just say he smokes 40,000 a
yes.
month?
Yes, correct.
Hang on. Him?
At the ranch. I don't know who's at the ranch, but.
Okay. It's a ranch?
I mean, that's a lot of weed.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's a ton of weed either way.
Well, hang on. Okay, so let's say the ranch is 10 people.
Right.
Yep.
Let's say there's 10 people at the ranch.
Yeah.
40,000 a month. What's a pre-roll? Like 15?
Yeah.
Like 15 bucks for like just like one joint.
I think it comes out, and my math might not be right, but I think it comes out to like 40 joints a day.
Jeez.
37 to 40 joints. Boom. Dan just had it in my ear. 37 to 40 joints a day.
Wow.
Oh my God!
That's nonstop, right?
Hang on, but that's
is that not, hold on. Is that
nine
nonstop?
To, 9 to midnight, I guess.
But, yeah. that's dispensary prices. That's not
true.
They're growing it themselves.
Yeah.
So I would almost even double that.
Wow.
Yeah, like the potency's got to be higher. Obviously,
sure.
The strain.
Oh no question.
Yeah.
What do we smoke a month? Is it 40,000 a month?
Know. We smoke
40,000 a
we
month.
We smoke 10 tons of weed at the ranch a month.
It's 40 grand. Ain't that crazy? That's crazy.
Crazy.
We take it for granted.
Smoke a lot of weed here.
$40,000 for weed a month?
Yeah.
That's a lot of weed. A
lot of weed blowing down, though.
All right, so you even got guys in the room who understand like the concept of, dude, I know how much weed that is, and I know how many people are smoking it. That is a ridiculous amount of weed.
Yeah.
$40,000 a month?
Dude, that's a lot.
Dan.
Quick Google search, though, says he is selling in weed products $500,000 a month.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, no. The guy apparently
said
this
it would be
the,
obviously much more if he wasn't smoking so much.
So from what I heard, like he's going to be able to make more from this weed business that he's in from his entire boxing career. I think they were saying in like 2 years.
Yeah, he's opening like, up a resort just for weed. Like, you can go there and play golf and smoke weed and do all these other things.
But then again, if it's legal and, well, I guess, yeah, you have to have it. It's like a, you can't, because when I went out to Vegas, I went to, what? Oh, I haven't told this story. Maybe I'll save that for a little bit. I know Joe Murray's here, so of all people, I think you would appreciate it the most. But.
It's Woody Gray. Ain't that crazy? That's crazy.
Crazy.
We had, what? We take it for granted.
Smoke a lot of weed here.
$40,000 worth of weed a month?
Yeah.
That's a lot of weed. A
lot of weed blowing down, man.
That's nonstop. Every second weed right there. Like,
yeah, it's a lot.
But we
what was the most expensive piece of jewelry you ever bought, Mike?
I bought a gold chain.
Okay, now he's going to get into numbers. Now, this I got to hear. But we got to take a break. I can't wait to hear the rest of this. So is every podcast him high?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's Hot Boxing with Mike Tyson. They're always high.
So there's 39 more of these of Mike Tyson stoned out of his mind?
Yeah.
This is fantastic.
Oh, my God. Excuse me for one sec, but I need a smoke. Oh.
I would totally get high.
40 more of these.
Yeah. I would totally get high with Mike Tyson.
Oh, sure.
That'd be weird, man.
No way. Mike Tyson in a relaxed state?
You don't have to worry about his unpredictability.
I just don't want him to like hit me on the arm or anything like that.
No,
like,
you sit on the other side of the desk. Me, you know? A mellow Mike Tyson?
Mike Tyson's one of those guys that I just could snap at any moment, yeah. Man.
I mean, if you're smoking $40,000 a week a month, you might snap.
don't put your lips on the duchy like that, you know?
I wouldn't trust him not to snap if I shot like a tranquilizer dart in his neck.
True.
So it's not. I don't care. There's no amount of weed that I think that would make me feel.
I didn't even think about that. I just thought about smoking with Mike Tyson.
Just thought about smoking.
But he could snap.
All right. We'll get to the rest of this because I can't wait. So Mike Tyson basically high as a kite with some of his friends who are also smoking on a podcast. So we will get to that right after this.
Alex, say what's up.
Alex.
What's up?
Don't be scared and shit. Yeah, smoke, Alex. Smoking's good, man.
That's actually...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub. Thanks for starting your day with Toucher and Rich.
Why are you doing this to me?
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here we go. 15 rounds for the WBVA World Circuit Championship. Little Mac taking on Mike Tyson. The dream fight here tonight. The world major winner title holder, Little Mac, didn't even use the code to get to this title fight as he easily knocked off Soda Popinski and the Sandman. Taking on Mike Tyson, who famously once said, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
What's up?
There were two things that I remember being
like must-see television.
Toucher and Rich on Twitch TV. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I mean, we've been killing the guests lately. Yeah, smoke out of smoking good, man. Yeah.
Yeah. 98.5 is Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich, and Mike Tyson, who I guess is now pretty big in the weed industry. He's got his own, I guess his own weed farm, and his company is apparently making $500 million a month. Is that what I read? And he sat down with a couple of his friends, and recorded a podcast where they all got high and they're talking about how much money that they spend on actually smoking weed. And he said that at his ranch, which I guess is him and the other people that are at the ranch, and he's with, is that they end up smoking $40,000 a month worth of weed, which is just a ridiculous amount of weed. And don't take my word for it. Take the reaction of all the people who are sitting there who are all life. It sounds like lifelong weed smokers. They all understand that that is utterly gratuitous. But we finish with the audio here. This is Mike Tyson, Jim Jones. I forget who the other two people are, but they're all in there and they're high as hell.
10 tons of weed at the ranch a month.
It's 40 grand. Ain't that crazy? That's crazy shit.
Crazy.
We had, what? We take it for granted.
Smoke
we
a lot of weed here.
$40,000 worth of weed a month?
Yeah.
That's a lot of weed. A
lot of weed blowing down, man.
That's nonstop. Every second weed right there. Like,
yeah, it's a lot.
But we.
What was the most expensive piece of jewelry you ever bought, Mike?
I bought a gold chain for like $7 million.
What?
Whoa, bro.
Wait, what, a gold chain?
Hang on. So you were just telling me off the air, John, because I was trying to calculate how long would it take for his weed industry that makes apparently $500,000 a month to eclipse the amount of money he made boxing. And you looked up how much money he made in his entire boxing career. And how much was that?
$700 million.
$700 million?
$700
Oh, well, then, okay. He made $700. He was almost a billionaire?
Yeah. He spent all of it.
How do you $700 million.
I bet you Don King got a lot of it.
Don King got a lot of it, but the purse price of what he won was $700 million.
All right.
Wow.
Okay. So here's I guess he goes on to explain that.
I bought a gold chain for like $7 million.
What?
Whoa, bro.
Wait. What? A gold chain?
No, a diamond chain. I'm sorry.
Diamond chain.
A chain for diamond. Seven M's.
Yeah.
So
no, but listen, I was just wrecked from my stole that.
Son of a
you know,
bitch.
That was nothing. I had lots of jewelry and shit I used to give away.
I'm still stuck with that $7 million chain.
Yeah. Oh, listen. Imagine I'm a young guy, right? And I got these f***ing, I got, come out of prison, I got like hundreds of millions of dollars out of prison. Chilling, that contract already paid me up front, hundreds of millions. And I just got out of prison, right?
Okay. I've never understood this about people, like famous people who buy super expensive jewelry, like someone like Mike Tyson, because I know the reason why a lot of people who aren't famous buy expensive jewelry and expensive cars is because they want other people to know that they're worth a lot of money. Everyone knew Mike Tyson was worth millions upon millions of dollars. Like, why does Mike Tyson have to buy that? You don't need that. We all know that you're absolutely loaded.
Think about it. A-Rod. Out in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Just got robbed of half a million?
Yeah, half a million.
Half a million out of his car.
Dummy left it in his rental car.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You do that? Oh, sorry about that, folks. You do, for some reason, my phone started.
The new guy in the beach chair.
Oh, my God. I never get phone calls during this.
Big Johnson Wallace leaving his ringer on now. Who do you think you are, Fred?
No. If it was Fred, it would happen the entire show. This just happened once.
All right. Well, yeah, I mean, I've never understood that. But then again, you know, you buy what you buy. If he's got $700 million, you know, what's $7 million?
It's true.
So
I'm still stuck with that $7 million chain.
Yeah. Oh, listen. Imagine I'm a young guy, right? And I got these I got, come out of prison, I got like hundreds of millions of dollars out of prison. Chilling, that contract already paid me up front, hundreds of millions. And I just got out of prison, right? I'm just going crazy. But I'm buying the jewelry, I'm buying these houses, I'm buying these cars, I'm getting these planes and stuff. Every time I knock somebody out in the first round, I get how much was the with $200,000
bonus?
Yeah, bonus.
Oh, so that'd be the one you'd be holding up at
yeah,
the end.
Yeah, this is just your money, huh? Playing with you. You're doing like 3 months on the French Riviera. I'm going from Ibiza, Spain to Moscow. Stopping in Milan, stopping in Greece, picking up girls, boom, dropping them off, picking up more girls, just boom, doing drugs, up, just every, just crazy. Being stopped by the boat police, this crazy.
How big was the boat?
The boat was like, what, 150?
Okay, the boat police. how much, okay, we've had both Tyson on the show, and we've had Don King. And for a while, they hated, or Tyson hated Don King because Don King took a ton of the cash. But yes. then Tyson kind of came back around and now is like, oh, well, Don King was all right. He was, you know, promoting me and giving me the shot that I wouldn't have had. How much money, do you know how much of that $700 million that Tyson was actually able to keep? Because I think it was like...
I don't know
I think it was almost like a criminally small amount.
Of course. No, Don King's a smart businessman.
If he made $700 million, I bet that he didn't see I bet he didn't see $100 million of it.
Well, you just heard him say, you know, I had hundreds of millions of dollars when I got out of prison. So you have to figure at least $100 or $200 million
this
still
is
left.
This is a dude that gave up like $70 million by signing a $50,000 contract for Mike Tyson's punch-out.
To put that, of course, you're telling me you didn't have a head for business? Come on, stop it. Don King stole a crap load of money out of him because Don King knew what contracts were and Tyson didn't. Tyson, but you have to figure Tyson had at least $200 million at his disposal after he got out of prison.
I was just reading Tyson tried to sue Don King back in 04. $100 million settlement. They settled on $14 million. So,
as I said, not a genius when it comes to business.
How much was the f*** with $200,000?
Bonus?
Yeah, bonus.
Oh, so that'd be the money you'd be holding up at the end of the fight?
This is just you money, huh? I'm playing with you. You're doing like 3 months on the French Riviera. I'm going from Ibiza, Spain to Moscow. Stopping in Milan, stopping in Greece, picking up girls, boom, dropping off, picking up more girls, just boom, doing drugs, up, just every, just crazy. Being stopped by the boat police, this shit's crazy.
How big was the boat?
The boat was like, what, 150? but it was so crazy because we were like savages. We were like pirates just trying to believe that we're conquering these countries and we had four different crews of the ship. Come on, Evan, you know the crew, people that worked the ship. Mm-hmm. They would quit and then we had to get more crews from other people. They said, we can't take this no more.
Oh, jeez, man. Okay, so they would have these crews, and they'd get pissed off at what was going on, and they would quit, and they would bring in new ones. I have a feeling there's quite a few lawsuits that have gone down regarding Mike Tyson. Hang on, let's go to Cody. Cody, line two, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
How are you guys? Love the show. Long-time listener. Just have a quick story about Mike Tyson. So me and a bunch of buddies were in Vegas last October. We went to a meet and greet. We were drinking a little bit, so we're waiting in line. And finally get up to Mike Tyson. I'm like, Mike, you're the GOAT. You're the GOAT, Mike. Just like yelling at him, go up to him. And he just replies with his eyes closed, big smile.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. I really appreciate it.
And I'm just like, as soon as I leave, I'm like, dude, that guy must have smoked at least a pound of weed before this meet and greet. Like,
yeah,
come on, dude.
I saw him out in Vegas, too. Like, he does regular signings there. There is a place inside of Caesar's Palace that, you know, Pete Rose might be there every other weekend, but the weekends that he's not, it's either Mike Tyson or some random guy. Emmett Smith was doing it the week that he was out, and the next week was going to be Ray Lewis signing stuff, but they bring everyone in there. So I saw that one weekend that I happened to be in town that on the Saturday, Tyson was going to be there. And for $100, you could get a picture of him and you would stand with him, get your photo, and he would sign anything you wanted. It was like, great. So I was like, I want to meet Mike Tyson. So I paid the $100. I get in line. I'm like, okay, I'm going to actually get this autographed to my newborn son. His name was Max. And I took a picture with him, and he goes, who'd you like to sign to? And I said, could you sign it to Max? And he goes, Matt? And I go, Max, M-A-X. And he goes, Matt. And I go, no, it's Max, M-A-X. And he goes, oh, M-A-X. And then he goes, yes. He goes, all right. And he signs it, hands it to me. It says, to Matt. Awesome, Tyson. The guy's obviously got his fastball.
What do you think is the worst decision on his part? The tattoo on the face or the $7 million necklace?
A tattoo on the face.
I don't know. The tattoo on the face, it's like it works for him.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does.
I don't think so.
I mean, the dude's a maniac.
We never say this to his face or anywhere near him, but no, it doesn't work for him.
Well, he's a maniac with a tattoo on his face. You would expect the tattoo to be on the face of a maniac.
He was a maniac before that. He didn't need the tattoo to confirm that.
And for some reason, it works. For some reason, with Mike Tyson, it works. I don't know why. I remember when he first got it, like, whoa, but now it's like, yeah, Tyson's got a tattoo on his face. Seems reasonable.
Of course. Only because of the people you see, like Chris the Birdman Anderson. You see all these people with the crazy tattoos. That looks like sedate by comparison.
He might have been like the first.
He's a maniac.
He might have been the first famous person I ever remembered.
That's true.
Like, having one on his face. And now, you know, you've got Post Malone and all these guys. Everyone's got tattoos on their faces. Not the same. Stitches. Oh, stage right. but yeah, I mean, that might have been it. All right, we will get to the headlines with Joe Murray, and I will be sitting here and imagining what it would indeed be like to smoke weed with Mr. Mike Tyson.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, the sport.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Get the app, get the Sports Hub, get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
Brookline Police.
There has been a very disheveled mailman who has been walking up and down our street for quite a while. He's not delivering mail, and he looks, I don't know. And we just came down Davis Street, and he's walking down Davis Street, too. I don't know if anybody else has called about him, but he's been around all afternoon with a bag full of mail.
Slow down, miss. One moment. All right, we'll park you in. You're on at Cypress or are you Emerson Garden?
Well, I'm in the Emerson now.
And where is he?
He was walking toward the high school down Davis, but he's been on Elm Street for quite a while this afternoon, too. It may be a woman, but anyway.
All right, 98.5 is Sports Hub. That is obviously from one of our Brookline 911 calls that we've had. And that was just somebody calling 911 on a mailman that uniform was not up to standard. Couldn't tell whether the person was a male, female, white, black, didn't matter. Just this person did not have apparently the shirt tucked in. So that was a 911 call. We've had so many from there. And I mean, a guy who said that there was a cone that was in the front of his car. He didn't like that. All the scooter stuff. But I did receive a message earlier today from somebody who works in that whole world. I've been saying it for the longest time. The people on the other end of these calls and the police officers that have to go out and deal with all this, I mean, they are just saints to be able to go out there and not crack up or just like get angry or just lose it on a daily basis. So they're doing God's work.
The stories they must tell to their families when they go home.
But what I've heard is that, you know, from some people that there are some people kind of in that world who have reached out and said that we have a cult following.
Oh, good. they're very happy we're bringing this to light.
Well, what they're saying is thank you for kind of showing the world how ridiculous some of this stuff is getting.
Yeah.
And to that, I first of all say thank you. And second of all, say I can't believe you got to deal with all that on a daily basis. But I was talking to Dan, our producer, off the air a minute ago, and I know we've been kind of focusing on Brookline because we've all got experiences there, and it just seems that, you know, with the scooter thing and all, I know, is there another city that this much weird crap would happen in? Like, Massachusetts
or in general?
No. I'm thinking about, you know, here, like, you know, within the listening area.
Okay.
Like, is there anybody who like works in that world, and you can stay anonymous if you want to, who knows about this stuff, like a dispatcher or maybe even like, you know, an officer or maybe somebody works, you know, any kind of, does anybody have any kind of inside information of another town that's as bat crap crazy?
All right. I can tell you one right off the top.
What?
Because I follow them on Twitter and it's fantastic. Bridgewater. If you follow the Bridgewater Police Department on Twitter, it's fantastic.
Like, why Bridgewater?
I don't know. Someone pointed me. I don't know if other police departments do this, but if you follow the Bridgewater Police on Twitter, they pretty much tweet out everything they respond to. And some of the things that they respond to are unbelievable.
Okay. Well, I know that every city's got, like, you know, a strange thing that happens every once in a while, but I'm talking about a city that's set up where the culture is ridiculous.
Oh, all right. I don't know about that.
There's a couple that I could. What's that, Dan?
Well, I have to say, give a shout out to my hometown, the People's Republic of Cambridge, where I grew up. Very large city, a very dense population.
Kind of crunchy? So,
all over the map, Rich. I mean, yeah, really, because there's so many different areas. I mean, you could have Harvard Square, you could have Central Square, there's Kendall with MIT and stuff like that. But I'm telling you, if, you know, I might actually know a few people that work in that area. But yeah, Cambridge would be one, and off the top of my head, Somerville would be another, because they have gone bat crap crazy in the last, say, 5 years or so.
In what way? Because the one thing you can say about Brookline is just everyone's like older.
Everyone's old, yes. So let's just say everyone, there's a lot of the influx, especially Cambridge and Somerville area, of younger people. So
there's a battle. It's like a war.
Yeah, you have that mentality of like almost like the dog on the leash or not on a leash, or people on scooters versus some of the old timers that might still be trying to hold on to what they may have had.
Okay. All right. Well, you see, I was thinking there's two that I immediately thought of. First one being Alston, because of all of the all the college students that live there. There's got to be some bat crap crazy stuff that happens there, especially once the school year starts. I would think that'd be nuts. And then there's part of me that thinks that you might get the same kind of nonsense 911 calls in like Wellesley.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I would think that Wellesley might be there. I remember going to Wellesley one time, and, you know, Mary and I were looking around for, like, a place to buy, and we just looked everywhere. And I remember going to Wellesley, and I'm like, oh, it's a beautiful town. It's kind of nice out here. And then I remember something was weird. They don't serve alcohol there, dude. That's a dry town, isn't it?
Dry town, that's right.
See, that's to me. I mean, to tell a town that you can't serve alcohol is just weird to me. Like, there's got to be some sort of culture that would lend to people calling 911 for nonsense reasons.
All right, how about this? We were talking about the Bridgewater Police Department. I mean, these are actual tweets from the police department. Female calls in, reports while cutting her lawn, her neighbor became threatening to her. He raised his hands as if he was a bear and used a leaf blower to blow air in her face.
Somebody sent me one from the Newport. It said 911 callers, two male parties fighting out in front of his properties. Parties are arguing over a puppy.
Yeah. Exactly. Mail into station requesting to speak with an officer regarding someone harassing him. Mail reports he received a 1-star review on Google for his business.
Oh, you know what would be?
These are all real things that happen in Bridgewater.
Oh, we might have to go Rhode Island.
Rhode Island is pretty.
Oh, we might have to go. We might have to get some jorts, jorts 911 going here.
We know about some of the Tiverton police I think when Fred was here.
That's right.
All right. Let's go to. All right, which one should we go to, Dan? Okay, Josh. What's up, Josh? You're on Toucher and Rich.
How you doing? So hey. I was working overnight one time. I got held for a third shift overtime, unfortunately. And our shift ends at 7. 6:30 a.m., I get a call for a turtle crossing the street. The dispatch actually sent us to a side street, maybe 4 streets in from the main road, to assist a citizen with a turtle, a wild turtle, that came from the little street next to it to help it get across the street.
Okay, all right. Now, what town is this?
Cumberland, Rhode Island.
Okay, all right. See, Rhode Island might be a treasure trove.
Cumberland, close
right,
to Massachusetts.
We'll write that one down. Thank you. Let's go to Dan. What's the next one?
I don't know. Bird is answering.
Oh, thank you, Bird. Bird, obviously. Oh, yeah. Full phone lines, and there's nothing that's up there. There's one guy who wants to yell at Wallach about the name Trip.
Okay.
I don't want to take that one right
Is that
now.
His name?
I don't do it. I don't know if it's his name.
All right. Well,
his name's Derek, okay. But he wants to yell about how you made fun of people named Trip.
All right.
You know what would be? I have to be honest. I got a weird feeling if we go to Bird territory. Everett 911 might be fantastic. But that would just all be family members like yelling at each other in the backyard.
Let's make it North Shore 911.
North Shore 911.
North Shore, kid.
That might be good. North Shore 911 might be all right. All right, let's go to someone said you guys should check out Brockton. Everything in Brockton is out of control. Yeah. But you see, I don't want like anything like crazy, like criminal. I want like strange and like people calling 911 for all the wrong reasons. That's what I want. Like, I don't want like bad, you know, any part of town that might be bad part of town like that. That's not what we're looking for. All right. 617-779-0985. Bird, you have full phone lines and I got nothing up here. All right. Let's go to, let's take Derek on line one. Derek, what's up, man? Derek. Derek.
Hello.
Hey, what's up, man?
Jeez, I didn't even know I was on, man. So I don't care what anyone says, Arlington, Belmont, Brookline, those entire areas are the absolute worst. No matter what you do,
There's rich people who should not be rich, who the family passed down money. They're walking around the entire neighborhood with no shoes, and they're calling the cops on me for wearing a safety vest, knocking door to door, and prepping for construction work. I don't care what anyone says. I grew up in Rhode Island, and then I moved to Massachusetts. It's Arlington, Belmont, Brookline, all day long.
All right, man. We have to write that down. I love North Shore 911.
That's kind of
that
personal,
might be a pretty
one.
Good one. I'll take one more before we take a break. Let's go to Jesse on line four. Jesse, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Yeah, you know, I live in a small town, Manchester by the sea. A friend of mine's a cop, and we got a call on the radio that said there was a guy riding his bike naked down the street. He came back. He was like, it was just a guy wearing khaki pants.
Okay.
Now that's real North Shore.
That's the real North Shore stuff right there. The old khaki pant bike rider. All right, we'll get to some of these calls right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
For the latest podcasts, the latest sports news, and for Toucher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
But on top of one of the cars is now a, one of those emergency cones, road marking cones.
All right. 98.5 The Sports Hub. John and Joe, I got something. This was from Marblehead. It was kind of a police blotter. And it said, a resident complained at 9:40 a.m. that her neighbors have had a bouncy house in their yard for a prolonged period of time, and she wondered if there are any regulations or restrictions that they are breaking. So that's nice. North Shore 911, I think, might be in the running. That might be the most fun so far suggestion that we've had.
How about Nantucket 911? How's that sound?
Okay, maybe during Figaui weekend, because that's when it becomes like the bro dudes passing out, and it's basically just dudes in salmon pants who are college students throwing up and passing out on beaches. Now, there might be like somebody drove, their BMW into the water or something like that.
You're telling me all the people who wear salmon pants in the act don't overreact to the smallest little thing that happens on their front lawn?
I don't think there's a lot of crime there. I know it's weird. It's like the houses are kind of all spread out and stuff. Now, that, as I said, the weekend that like all the college students and stuff go out there, dude, there aren't even any like stoplights on that island.
I know, but you're telling me that someone isn't like on a lawn, accidentally steps foot on a lawn, or somebody's dog poops on a lawn.
Maybe.
And 911 people don't get calls?
It'd be worth looking into. I know that during that weekend, there's like people who will randomly walk into someone's house and pass out in the wrong person's bed. That happens all the time.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not run of the mill, but I'm saying you're looking for just weird reasons.
Worth checking into, without a doubt. Let's go to Brian. Brian, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Good morning, guys.
Hey.
Hey, I'm thinking this whole thing needs to be a nice tournament, like a Sweet 16. You pick the craziest towns, and then you find out who in New England is truly abusing the 911 process.
That's actually not a bad idea, but I think that, I think we just kind of do one town at a time here. There's a lot of Rhode Island suggestions. Let's go to Derek. What's up, Derek? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, guys. Steak and eggs.
Steak and eggs.
Listen, two things. One, Rich, your statement about the Foo Fighters yesterday was the most on-point thing I think I've ever heard you say. We need a break, okay? They just need to go away for like 10 years.
And I like the Foo Fighters. I do, but they're everywhere.
They're a good band, but they're everywhere.
Yep, yep.
They're absolutely everywhere. Okay, the other thing is, Wallach, you were so spot on about Trip, okay? So I did not go to Dartmouth. But I did go to Colgate, and there was a gentleman in my graduating class named Elmer Tripp Frash III, okay, who listed his interests in the freshman Facebook or whatever they called it as Mercedes-Benz Auto and Equestrian.
Colgate's
the Dartmouth near miss.
That is an example of one example of someone named Tripp that is like that, John. I will not stand by your insulting of that name.
Well, you do hold a place in Nantucket. I'm sure you're surrounded by trips.
There's trips everywhere.
I'm sure there's trips everywhere on your glorious island.
I actually, to be honest, I don't know a trip, to be quite honest.
Well, you will if you stay in Nantucket long enough.
I don't know. I don't know if there's any trips there. Mm-hmm. Not that I've met, we'll but I'll let you know. I don't think Felger's
trip's hiding right
trip.
Up the block.
And someone said Newton has to be on the list. I don't know about that. I think that you're going to, just North Shore as a whole, might be the way to go. Oh, wow. Now we're talking. And this will be the last call I take. Let's go to Alex. Alex, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey.
Hey, so I was up in Conway, New Hampshire, just vacationing with one of my buddies up at his house. And we had the cops called on us because there were potentially two violent guys shooting guns up in the air and into the lake. We were playing horseshoes.
Just New Hampshire 911. I mean, we might just have to go just straight up the
Rocky, just like, you know, the renter 911.
Yeah, right. We might just have to go straight up New Hampshire 911. That might not
good.
Be a bad idea.
Yep.
All right, maybe we should do that. Home of the Wolfman, which I still I can't believe exists. If you go up to a Clark's Trading Post. All right, we're going to talk to a minute. To a gentleman from the is it the Providence Journal?
Yes.
Is that right? Okay. And about the Red Sox, because the one reason that they're worth talking about right now is that what's going on with them is, believe it or not, interesting, because I'd written them off about 3 days ago. I still don't think they're going to win, but watching what Alex Cora is doing with the bullpen and using seven guys in one game and using Cashner 2 days in a row, and Eovaldi was supposed to start, and he throws Eovaldi in there. And
2 days
and,
in a row.
Yeah, right. It's like he's just like by the moment he's managing as if this is the World Series, and he's got like 40 games left, and how you are not going to completely wear out this bullpen is astounding to me. I know why he's doing it. You're desperate. There's probably, he's got a weird feeling about that, you know, maybe he's scared that if his team doesn't do anything, Mookie won't come back. I think that that's a realistic possibility. If this season ends with a bad taste in your mouth, you can basically kiss your chances of Mookie staying here goodbye. And then you had this thing that came out yesterday, a quote that Peter Gammons from The Athletic got. And it says, is Mookie Betts signable before becoming a free agent after 2021? They have been scouring other systems in case. And he's talking about the front office. He goes, if Mookie wants to stay in Boston, we'll pay him, says one Sox official. We want him to be the face of the franchise, but it's hard to know. He's rejected our outreach in the past. We have to know if he's open to signing a year before he hits free agency at the end of next season. That is the kind of quote that gets leaked out of a front office that isn't going to re-sign a guy, that things aren't going well. Because isn't it usually radio silence when each side is working towards something
yes.
mutual?
Yes, it is.
When both sides kind of know where this is going and there's a little bit of respect there and there's no contention.
In big contract negotiations, there's volleying back and forth. If there's acrimony, there's volleying back and forth. And then when things go dark, that's when you think, okay, everyone decided to get serious.
You don't leak out something like this if you truly believe that that person's coming back. Why would you jeopardize them signing? This sounds like somebody who knows he's not coming back.
Or it's a trial balloon saying, okay, we're thinking about trading Betts.
Bad organizations put out trial balloons with star players.
And
the Red Sox,
this is what's going on.
They're not a bad organization.
They're not a bad organization. They're a good organization that has made some really bad decisions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, going back to Carl Crawford, that was a really bad decision.
Yep.
You know, they made a lot of bad.
John Lester, bad decision.
But they kind of learned from John Lester. And that's the one thing I'll say is that as the years have
gone
on.
Trading for agents, but have they, though? Bad decision.
Yeah, you know, signing Chris Sale was something they could have let him finish out the season.
Yep.
They could have done that. There was no
and
reason to sign
for
John
a lot
Lester.
Less.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, you're right. There was no. I mean, the Chris Sale thing, everyone's against. I don't know one lone voice that thought it was a good idea.
And just this year, they never replaced Kimbrel. They never replaced Kelly, and they gave Steve Pearce money. Like all that stuff just never worked out.
Throw Kelly out. That didn't matter. But the Kimbrel thing certainly.
They didn't
did.
Replace him, John. Well, that's the thing.
Look at what Kelly's doing in LA this year.
Doesn't matter. They didn't replace.
They didn't need to replace him.
right. Well, meanwhile, you've got these, you know, two absolute studs on the team. And so, I mean, between Xander Bogaerts and Rafael Devers, I mean, that's one reason to tune in. But it's just, it's a weird spot they're in. I want them to either suck royally so I can forget about them or be in it. And they're neither. And it's like a giant tease. But to me, all that really matters at this point, even more than the playoffs or not, is whether they can keep Mookie Betts. And when you even got Dan Roach going a little dark on this, because he's tweeting a little bit this morning back and forth with me.
Dan, by the way, listening in a hotel room in Nashville.
Good for him. Good for Dan. That's right. It's a P1. What's up, P1? And then we're going to talk, no commercials, just the headlines, with Bill Koch. He's from the Red Sox Providence Journal, and he's got an opinion on how this is all turning out and where he thinks the end game is on all this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.